Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MAI and Miles Fan Travel, who offer you top-notch service and expertise for all your vacation needs. And if it's time for your next Disney fix, then it's time to visit the vacation planners at MAI-travel.com, MouseFanTravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Eddie McCoy, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 140 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today. With me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Michael. How are you this very fine day? Snowy day in New Hampshire.
I'm getting ready to finally relax after a long weekend of running at Walt Disney World, and now I'm ready to begin my real 2014 training program.
Yeah, it's when I got done it with my 24-mile run indoors at the YMCA, I was preparing for Dopey, but now the realization is I've got all the way till April till the Boston Marathon to continue running indoors. And we had 8 inches of snow yesterday, so looks like it's going to be indoors for me for a while. Oh, boy. So I have a shout-out today. And when we were in Walt Disney World, one of our friends, Amanda Gonzalez, told us that her son, who's new to running, he's been running for about a year, is a faithful listener to the Mickey Miles Podcast. So, Gabe Gonzalez, this is a shout-out for you. And I just want to say that I love that people are bringing their kids into running Disney or running local races. I think that's so, so cool. You and Gabe are good buddies.
Yeah, Gabe and I have had many discussions on the merits of Walt Disney World, and I can always depend upon you, Gabe, to say to me, Mike, so what's the difference? What's higher, the Cinderella Castle or the Tower of Terror?
So he forces me to ask you, right?
Yeah, he forces me to find those answers. So I thank you, Gabe, very much. We are here to do some questions. We will. We have seen our question bucket begin to pile up, so we're trying to cut into it. We will try to get to them as quickly as possible and try to answer them in a timely manner as we can. So, Michelle, would you like to start on the first one?
I sure would. This is from Chris Smith, who actually ran with a bunch of us who ran the marathon. I think he thought we were pretty wacky, but congrats, Chris, because I know this was your first marathon. And his question is about our new running team, which is the Mickey Milers. He says, hi, everybody. I just joined the Mickey Milers. I was curious if you had a team roster and if you'd put together a Facebook page for team members. It would be a great way for us to connect prior to Run Disney events as well as other non-Disney races. Thanks for putting this together. Great to meet you again last week, Chris. And I just want to point out, too, before we answer this question, that Chris wrote an amazing blog on News from the Road, our blog for the Mickey Miles Podcast website. So you should check it out. It should be published by the time this show runs. So, Mike, can I jump in and answer this one?
Sure.
We have a group of people who are helping us put together this team. And we talked for a long time about whether or not we were going to have a separate Facebook page. We decided against it. We are going to have all of our team communications right on the regular Mickey Miles Facebook page. The reason for that would be that, number one, the management of it. We didn't want to have to manage another page. We get so much information coming in from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We wanted to keep it all in one place. The second is that probably any conversation that we're going to have about the team, anybody, even if you're not on the team, it might be useful information about training. So that's the answer to part one of your question. Part two is we are going to have a team roster that's going to be up on the Mickey Miles Podcast website, and that should be rolling soon. And, Mike, I don't know when the last time you looked at, I think we were close to 40 people on the team.
I know that we were in the mid-30s. I haven't looked lately, but I would not be surprised if by the time we post this show that we are over 50.
Yeah.
Just keeps growing. Yeah. People like to be on teams, and this is going to be a fun team. Not that other teams aren't fun, but we hope to have a lot of fun.
So if you want to join, you go to the Mickey Miles Podcast website, and there's a one of the sliders that goes by is about how to join the team. Very easy, and we are running to benefit Give Kids the World, and you just have to raise $50. So it's pretty easy.
Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. Our next question comes from Mel Stone, who says, and we met Mel at the I think we met Mel at the brunch after the 5K. And Mel says, it was so nice to meet you guys at the breakfast after the 5K.
How did you know we met?
Question. He says, I've signed up for my first half, Pittsburgh. Do you guys think you will be selling shirts so I could wear it for the run? I would like to represent, since you're the reason I've gone as far as I have. Galloway 2, I'm so happy you guys choose Give Kids the World after the podcast where they were featured. I emailed them to get the United Way donation number. My company matches. They don't have one, but suggested I put their name in, and I'm hoping for the best. The running community is fantastic, and I'm happy I have you guys to guide me. And, you know, Michelle, this is the kind of energy and excitement that we love to see in people and folks who are excited about helping others and being part of a team. Now, Mel, you don't say when that race is, but Michelle, we did talk at the brunch regarding the shirts. We're still finalizing the logo, but we were hoping to have the shirts ready sometime within the next 90 days. Is that correct?
That's correct. So first of all, I'd love to run in Pittsburgh. What a beautiful place. I don't know when your half is, but we would encourage people to wear the shirts to other events other than Disney events, because we're hoping people are going to meet regionally and do races together. We're not going to have the shirts ready for the Princess Half Marathon, but we're hoping to have them ready for the Expedition Everest race. And Joe Terracani from the Marathon Show is actually going to be helping us to put those shirts together. They're going to be yellow. And Michael Miller did a really great Mickey Miles podcast logo. This is a little bit different than our regular logo. So we should have those soon. And you're going to be able to put your name on it. And so it's pretty cool.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, so Mel, as soon as we know, as soon as they're up and running, we'll post an announcement on the Facebook page. Ready for our third question. It is from our buddy Stephanie Gomez, and she says, hey, Mike and Michelle, first off, I want to congratulate you both on being dopey. Mike, you were almost dopey. You were grumpy. So.
I was a little grumpy. Yeah, I was pretty dopey come Monday morning, though, I tell you.
Way to go on the Mickey Miles podcast running team. My question is for the people who are not able to sign up for Disney races due to being sold out fast, or whatever the case may be, is there still a way to get into the race? Has anyone ever bought and run with someone else's bib? If so, how's it done? I also found a site where people buy and sell and trade bibs, but I don't know how reliable that is. This is a really interesting question. So, Mike, the Run Disney does not want you to trade your bib, and there's a reason for that. Do you want to explain?
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. We can start off with liability as one. We can start off with a whole bunch. I do think, though, that we all realize that sometimes there are unforeseen circumstances that come about, and people, for one reason or another, cannot make a race. And sometimes those situations happen well after you can defer. So many times people try to figure out how they can, you know, recover the expense and also help others who, you know, were not able to sign up for a race. And this happens from time to time. Again, officially, Run Disney does not like this, but it's going to happen. And my suggestion to Stephanie is that whenever you, you know, you could post something on Facebook, you can look certain areas. I'd just be very, very careful that, you know, it's a direct face-to-face kind of transaction, or that you can be sure that you're dealing with someone who's honest. Be very, very careful. And again, we're not condoning this, but we understand that it happens. And I can, you know, I can say that it has happened to me. You know, there have been times when I was injured and I did not want to defer, and then I waited to the very last minute, and I couldn't, I could not run, and I wish I had given my bib to someone. So there are people out there who are like that. So good luck. And Michelle, would you like to add to this?
I do. Well, I want to reiterate what you said, Mike. Disney does not want you to trade your bib, and they have something in place where you can defer for a year. I believe you have about 6 weeks or a month before your race where you can email them, and they will defer. There is an added cost to that, though. You have to pay extra money. So having said that, these races are very expensive. You know, with the 5Ks pushing, you know, $60, it is a lot of money. So we understand that people would want to maybe see if they couldn't run, if they could sell their bib to another person. We would ask that people not post their request to do this on the Mickey Miles podcast website. However, you know, I would recommend that you go with, if you're going to try to use somebody else's bib, go with a friend's bib or something like that. But Run Disney does discourage it because of the liability. You know, if they know that you're you've signed up as a certain person with your information and your age and things like that, they're not going to know that you're in the race unless you, you know, you've registered. So it's kind of a tricky situation. And, you know, I have never heard of anybody buying somebody else's bib who, you know, didn't get the bib, but it is tricky. Mike?
You hit a very interesting sore spot with me, and that is $60 for a 5K. And I think that sometime in the future we need to have a roundtable discussion with some folks on that. But that's for another show.
My table isn't round. It's U-shaped. But okay, we can have that.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. It was actually an audio a question that came from Kelly from Savannah, Georgia. And Kelly, we thank you for sending it in. Now, Kelly is going down to Orlando to run in the Princess Half Marathon, and she's coming with some friends. And this will not be their first race, but it will be their first Run Disney race. So she has some questions. And one of the questions was that she actually had two questions. First, she wanted to know what they should bring to race start. And secondly, they are staying at the Swan, and they're wondering if that would be an issue. So, Michelle, would you like to address the first question? What do you think they should bring to the race start for the Princess Half Marathon?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks to Kelly, because I love it when people call in on Skype and leave messages. We happened to get this while we were at Dopey and could not access the audio file again, or we would have played it. So if you want to call in with a question, it's 407-545-2141. Anyway, back to Kelly. I'm glad that you're running the Princess. I think it's a great first Disney race. Things that you might want to bring: a lot of people dress up. Dress up like princesses for the princess race. It makes sense, both women and men. Other things that I might bring, because it's the, you know, it's February, are a garbage bag to sit on in the corrals and to wear if you're a little bit cold, then you can just throw it away. I would bring some goos. Definitely, I would bring some water or some Gatorade for a half marathon. There'll be water. What else to bring? I don't know. I would bring my sunglasses. I would listen to the shows that we did on what to pack for the Dopey. I think those will be really helpful. You may find things that are useful and things that are not. The big thing to remember is that the weather's always a question, so you want to plan for every possibility. Hot, cold, rain, that type of thing. Michael?
Michelle, did you say camera?
I didn't say camera.
The reason why, if you can bring a little camera or if your iPhone or a smartphone that would take photos, Kelly, because I think the Princess Half Marathon, more than any other race, somehow seems to have more characters, especially for the princesses. And Michelle?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. You might want to bring an extra battery, too. I have an iPhone. I have a Mophie battery that I run with. I wanted to mention that during the marathon, I didn't use any music at all, which is really interesting to me. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but because I was running with other people, I never listened to any music. And so because you're running with your buddies, Kelly, you may find that you don't need to bring any music with you. So I hope you have a great race, though.
Yeah, I have one more request, Kelly. If you do decide to dress up, and a lot of the women runners will dress up as princesses, please send me a photo of your tiara so that you and I don't wear the same one. Uh-huh. We would not like to clash.
So she also had another question about whether or not staying at the Swan is a good idea in terms of accessibility, Mike. So one thing we want to make sure to tell Kelly is that Run Disney will be running the buses from the Swan just as they do other Disney resorts, so she'll be all set there. I wouldn't necessarily want to walk back from the Epcot finish line all the way back to the Swan through the International Gateway and past the Beach Club and Boardwalk. That'd be quite a walk. I might take the bus back. What do you think?
Well, you know, if I was staying at the Swan and I walked out and the bus wasn't there, I would kind of really think seriously about walking over to the Yacht Club and taking the bus there, because the Yacht Club seems to be the best place to take buses from those Epcot resorts, you know.
But she, even though she's staying on, you know, the Boardwalk area, she cannot walk into the International Gateway in the morning to get to the race. So she definitely has to take the bus.
That's correct.
And we didn't hear many bus problems during marathon weekend. It seems like, at least for that race, the bus situation was under control. Did you hear of any?
Only one from Kimberly when we had her on. Kimberly had an issue from Old Key West, I think.
Right,
but other than that, I think everybody was really early. Everybody got on the buses real early, although there was still I think a lot of people would prefer to get there early. There were no issues of the buses bringing people to the gathering area late, but I still think that people would prefer to get there earlier. Next question.
Our next question is from John Thompson, and he says, "Hello, Mike and Michelle. John Thompson here, Hoot Dad first. Congrats on completing the Dopey and the Grumpy. Also, Michelle, thanks for the shout out, even though I had to grovel for it. Anyway, I was not able to go down for marathon weekend this year, but I am determined to go down next year. The thing is, I've heard a rumor from Jim Hill, if I recall, that the Osborne lights will be gone after next year. That got me thinking, wouldn't it be cool if Disney decided to extend the last year of the lights for a week or so, so they're still there for folks coming down for marathon weekend to enjoy? Do you think there's any chance of it? I've actually never seen them and would love to. Thanks, and thanks for doing such a fantastic show." So, Mike, I'm going to hand this off to you. This sounds like a WDW Today question, but I don't know. I've heard mixed things about the Osborne lights going.
Okay, John. I'm sure that we will talk in depth about this sometime in the future on WDW Today. Right now, there is a rumor that has been circulating internally in the Disney cast member community as well as the Disney internet community regarding the Osborne lights. There are all kinds of things that could happen. It's like a domino effect. So I just would say to you, you know, keep listening and see what happens. Now, he says, "Do you think there'll be a chance of the folks going to?" I don't know if they were going to have the last year of the Osborne lights. I don't think having a final year of the Osborne lights would make a decision of keeping them up. And let me just say one more thing about the Osborne lights. The rumor is not necessarily that they are going to be gone. The rumor is that there will be some changes. So I'm not really ready to jump on board and say that the Osborne lights have seen one more year to go. So just let's keep that in.
If you want to make sure that you're going to see them, you know, you'd want to go to the Wine and Dine where that is part of the race course. But, Mike, I can't imagine that it's so popular. I mean, it's so popular when you go there. You can't even walk on the streets because of all the people who come to Osborne Lights. I can't imagine. I keep on forgetting the name of the lights that they took away in Epcot that you still complain about.
Oh, Lights of Winter. Yeah, actually, it wasn't on... Lights of Winter. It sort of was the trestle. And Lights of Winter were on the ground. The trestle was just part of the
now,
overall.
If you're with Mike in Epcot every single – like, it can be July, and he can say, oh, the Lights of Winter used to be here. So if they take away Osborne lights, oh, boy.
I think that in 2015 there will be Osborne lights. I think we'll probably call them Osborne Lights Motors Action. Something like that.
I think it would be terrible because it is one of the most exciting things about running a Disney race. Turning the corner, running down, they've got the music playing at the end of Wine and Dine. I think it would just be a shame. I think it's a feature that's kind of special to Wine and Dine, and I'm not sure extending it into the January race weekend. I mean, it would be nice because I know a lot of people don't do both, but thoughts?
We'll see. I don't want to... speculate any further until I get more information myself. Okay, our next question comes from Pete, who says, hi, Mike and Michelle. Congratulations to you both on your Run Disney Marathon weekend. It's been great listening to you prepare and help runners get ready for the big weekend. If I hadn't found you, I don't think I would be running at all. Between you and your great guest, Jeff Galloway, I completed 2 half marathons last year. I look to do more this year and finish with the Run Disney Half Marathon in 2015. Keep up the great work you two do. While I didn't attend it, I had a friend who ran the marathon and the next day hopped on a Disney cruise ship. She has talked our small running group into running the half at Disney World and then getting on a Disney cruise ship the next day. I think I can handle that. It may be difficult, but I'll give it a try. I live in the great white north of Michigan, not quite New Hampshire. But we get just as cold with the polar vortex and the wind chills hitting minus 35. I've been relegated to my treadmill. I did get outside once, but now we're back in the teens and low 20s. No thanks. What are some good treadmill workouts to do, or where can I find them? I've been running on it, still doing Galloway, but I find it quite bored quickly. I get quite bored quickly. I think I actually nodded off once or twice. I appreciate any help you can provide. Thanks again. Stay warm and wish for the spring.
I'm sorry. That's funny. Wow, that'd be interesting to explain to the emergency room. How did you get hurt? Pete, well, I fell asleep while I was doing the treadmill. Well, I don't know. I you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I run on an indoor track. When I had to do my 24 miles, I ran on the indoor track and went off to the treadmill. I actually don't do the treadmill very much. I know, Mike, you don't do it at all. But I have to say, Pete, I just Googled treadmill workouts, and there are a lot of treadmill workouts. And I would love for people to write in on our Facebook page if they have suggestions on how to make it more interesting. I know people watch TV, people watch movies. Some people, I've seen people at my Y even reading books. I don't know that I could do that. But listening to podcasts, listening to music, I don't know that there's an awful lot that you can do that I know of, but maybe other people know of. Mike?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of treadmill training, so I would not be the person to talk to. Sergio, I would use the...
This is Pete, not Sergio.
Oh, this is Pete, not Sergio. I'm getting ahead. Actually, I call him Sergio. So Pete, I think that really... check into the internet. Use it as a source. Look to maybe some running podcasts and see if there are any treadmill running podcasts or things that can make that type of a workout a little bit more interesting. There's a reason why a lot of us prefer running outside is that the scenery changes, the topography changes. And it's much more interesting than running on the same piece of equipment for an hour or so. So good luck. And again, look through the internet for help.
Gee, I thought that a running Disney podcast was a niche. A treadmill running podcast would be a real niche.
Why not?
Okay. So our next question is from Mike Schaefer. And he says, hello, Michelle and Mike. It's Mike Schaefer. Now, Mike... if you remember, Michael Scopa was the guy who dressed up as a 70s guy during, I think we met him during the 10K, and I took his picture with Liam. So he's a super nice guy. But he wrote in to tell his story a little bit, so I wanted to share it. He said, I wanted to take some time to share my experience from this past weekend with your team. First of all, last week was my first experience with a race at Disney. It was amazing, although I was questioning some of the things you guys mentioned on the 5K podcast. Corral, wait times, lack of younger runners. I'm glad I wasn't the newbie who was, I wasn't just a newbie that was wondering. I had a sign on my back for Marathon Sunday. It said, 5 years ago, barely able to walk. Today, about to finish the dopey. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis. It's very similar to rheumatoid arthritis. My immune system was attacking my body, specifically my feet, ankles, hips, and shoulders. I was on 3 different types of medication, and I had pages of warnings about side effects. Even with those meds, I was barely functional on some days. It would take me 30 minutes to get out of bed. I barely had the energy to play with my kids and work during the day. As of 5 years ago, I couldn't think about doing a 5K, let alone the dopey. My doctors wouldn't have allowed me to run anything. I am no longer on any medications. I started running several years ago, and I have felt better than I ever have. I am a walking miracle. I have truly been healed. That's why I told Liam, my son Liam, before the 10K that I had already won by just being out there running. The jacket and the afro are cleaned and ready for the next adventure. I would love to wear them for Dumbo, but I have a feeling it'll be a little bit too warm. We'll see. My wife and I are planning on signing up. That will be the first 10K and first half marathon for my wife. I think she caught the running bug. Take care and have a great weekend. Mike, this is fantastic. Very inspirational. You know, people are dealing with so many things just getting to the starting line, and everybody has their own story, and I want to congratulate you, and so glad that you got out there, and hopefully we'll see you at another race.
I happened to see Mike when I was rooting for everybody for the marathon. I didn't tell you this, Michelle. I saw him when I was at the Grand Floridian, and he was waving and yelling at me, and I was yelling at him and everything. And he'd be someone I'll be looking forward to seeing every Run Disney event. And like you said, this is just another example of the type of stories that you hear when you're down there, and it just gets better every time. And I think I look forward to hearing these stories more than the actual race.
You know, and it's becoming clear to me that it's not easy for anybody. You know, you could be a lifelong athlete, you know, that runner's body and all the time in the world to train, but everybody has their own struggles, and I think it's important that we share them. And I also want to mention that I met Mike in Race Retreat, I think the day of the half marathon, and he came up to me and he said, I just want you to know this is what I look like in regular clothes. He didn't have an afro that day. He just had regular running clothes. So thank you, Mike, for sharing that.
Boy, Michelle, you keep coming up with these phrases like 5K and $60 and Race Retreat. And I keep thinking, oh, this topic there that I want to talk about. But for another day, another time.
Wait a second. Who treated you to Race Retreat this year?
Eddie. Didn't Eddie?
Yeah, he did.
Eddie.
Indirectly, he did.
Eddie McCoy.
Hey, Mike, guess what? Your friend Sergio wrote in.
Sergio. Another Sergio. I'm surrounded by Sergios. And Sergio says, hi, guys. I love your podcast. It's great information. I'm planning, yes, already to run this year's Wine and Dine Half Marathon. How far in advance does Disney confirm the dates for this event? I want to make sure I don't miss the registration and understand sign up books up quickly. Also, with all the new races Disney has been adding, do you think it is likely for Disney to add a 10K to the Wine and Dine weekend like Disneyland's Half and Double Dare? Thanks and keep running. Sergio. You know, Michelle, this is a good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sergio.
I think that...
Which part of it? Both of them?
The second one. Well, the first one, we always get this question when sign-ups, and I'm expecting any day to hear about Wine and Dine.
Well, also, actually, Dumbo. So let me tell you, I know that Dumbo was the next few days a year ago because I am off to D.C. for a conference tomorrow. While I was at that same conference last year, the Dumbo Double Dare was announced, and I was trying to get in through the hotel's wireless. So I would expect very soon for Dumbo, and then Wine and Dine right after that. Usually, I want to say 7 or 8 months ahead of the race date is when they start. As soon as we know anything, we'll post it on Twitter and Facebook. But you should sign up quickly, Mike, because these things, especially inaugural things, sign Phillips.
Yeah, and they're getting to the point now where they announce a race, but they also announce when the signups will be. So I think it's going to be nip and tuck for some people as we get to the signup days. However, with the prices going up, who knows? Maybe it'll be easier than we think. The other question that he said, would they likely add a 10K to the wine and dine? And you know, there's a strong possibility that would happen.
I think that's a great point. Yep.
And it would probably be at night.
Mm.
And my guess would be it would probably be a race that would end at the studios, beginning somewhere at the World of Sports and ending at the studios. That would be my guess. I think it would be you would have 5K on the morning of the 10K, and then you'd have the 10K that evening. But that's that would be the evening before the half marathon.
Wouldn't that be nice if that was another chance for folks to run through Osborne Lights? I'm not sure if it would end in studios because it's wine and dine. They'd want to funnel people into the Food and Wine Festival, but.
And there's one other thing that they might do, mm-hmm. and that is they might do something called, I don't know what they'd call it, but what if you were going to have a 10K on the front end of the half marathon and people could sign up for either one or the other or both? And if you sign up for both of them, you would wear a bib. So actually you would not be running 13.1 or 10 or 6.2. You would be running 19 point something. That would be for people who are looking to maybe make the jump from a half marathon to a full marathon. But that would be an interesting race.
You always find different interesting twists on things. So I don't know, but as soon as we know, we will let you know, Sergio. Great questions.
Yep.
We hope to see you there. All right. The next question is from Denise Trowicki, and she says, can we talk wind thresholds? I find mine is about 10 miles per hour. I tried running last Sunday, but my route took me straight into 15 to 17 mile per hour winds, and I was miserable. I gave up. Am I just wimpy? This is really interesting because this is not an issue that I have too much. I live on hills in New Hampshire, and it hasn't really stopped me, but I know that we have some friends who did the Atlantic City Marathon. They said it was pretty intense, but for me, it's not a big deal. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know what my threshold is, but I hate wind. I will run in rain before I run in wind. Well, depending upon how heavy the rain is. I think with the wind, the problem is if it just takes your breath away, if it's really windy, and you can wear something maybe to fight it. But I think that everybody has a wind threshold. I think mine might be a little bit higher than Denise's. It might be in the 20 mile per hour range, but I don't carry a wind gauge, so I don't know for sure. But I do know that a lot of runners do not like wind to their back or to their front. I don't like it at my back either.
Although when we were running the half marathon, I know last week, every time the wind came, it was just a gentle breeze. It felt very, very good.
But, yeah.
But I know some people have wind that can just knock you right over, so. All right, last question, Michael.
Comes from Jamie Cash, who says a couple of questions for anyone who might know. Number one, did I hear correctly that the Tinkerbell half at Disneyland may be moved to Mother's Day weekend in 2015 on a recent podcast episode? Does anyone have any other details on that? And two, if you're a Disney Visa cardholder and receive the email to pre-register for Run Disney events before the public, is this just for one registration for the event, or could a husband and wife both register? Would love to hear how those pre-public registrations work for certain. Thanks in advance. I don't recall regarding the Tinkerbell half being moved to Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, yes, it will. That's
was that official?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that will be – I think that will be good because we know a lot of people – we know some friends who did the Disney race weekend in January and then flew to California to get their coast to coast. I think it's great. I mean, right now the way it's set up, I could never do Tinkerbell. And with it being in May, I could definitely do Tinkerbell. So it's good. I think it's good. I actually know the Disney Visa cardholder question too.
Okay.
So you can sign up, and there's also a DVC early sign up. It's just $10 off. And you can use it for multiple registrations. And in the past, as a DVC owner, I have received gone on the DVC website and found the registration code, and I pretty much I assume it's the same for the Disney card holder. But it's a little bit of money, but every little bit helps.
Yep, and that takes care of the questions for now. And so, Michelle, thank you very much, and I know that you are on your way to another conference, so we'll get together when you come back and we'll do some more shows.
Sounds good. And I want to hear about, we're going to have a Tinkerbell show too.
We have a Tinkerbell show. We've got a whole bunch. We have so much to talk about. Stay tuned.
It's interesting. When we first put this together, somebody asked me, what are you going to do between, you know, January and the fall races? Are you going to have anything to talk about? Well, it seems like we're not running out of things to talk about. There's always something to talk about, always some news. And with Run Disney growing so quickly, and, you know, it's just lots and lots of things.
Yep. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. It's January, but it's not going to be January soon. It's getting into February, and pretty soon spring will be here. So it's time to start thinking about those spring vacations, those summer vacations, and those fall vacations. And who to see for those vacations? None other than the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. Let them take the worry out of putting those vacations together. Visit them at MEI-travel.com, MouseFanTravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at Facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.